Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of cleaning power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in the store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Changing your safe word, comics and culture, and the best music docs you're not watching. All this and more on today's Last Looks. Places, people!
How did this get made? It wasn't sweet like lemonade. I'd rather lay on a hand grenade than watch it again.
Last look, look last, last look.
How did this get made? It wasn't fun like a gay parade. I'd rather dig my own.
Hello, my sex club mannequins and shirtless Dorito munchers. The password to this episode is kumquat. I'm your host, Paul Scheer, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? Last Looks, where you get to voice your issues on open marriage, not open marriage in the general sense, but the movie. And Jason and I chat about all the stuff that we are currently into. Plus, we are going to play an exclusive deleted scene from our last episode and reveal next week's movie. And as always, I will try to solve your problems on Paul's Helpline. But first things first, a big shout out to War Widow. I love that opening song. And if you want to make your own song for the show, please do. We're looking for second opinion themes. You can bring them to us. We also are looking for themes for this Last Looks. That's right. Send them here to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. Keep them short. 15, 20 seconds is best. Let's get into it. I know we talk a lot about movies, but there are bigger things out in the world. You got problems? Let me solve them. It is now time for Paul's Helpline.
I'm laying up late at night and I feel kind of small. I'm haunted by questions and I want to ask Paul. Yeah, I want to ask Paul. I'm asking Paul. Tell me it all. I'm asking Paul. Yeah, I'm going to ask Paul.
Thank you, AC Gravy, for that theme. I love it. Themes are getting better and better every single week. I love all of these. And we have a true great call coming up. I mean, all the calls this week have been really stellar, but this one was a particularly interesting one. Why don't I let Anonymous take it away?
Hi, Paul. I have an issue with that's my stepfather. Really, like he's more or less my father. But he's in his 70s, and I just found out looking at Twitter that if you look at his tweets and replies, that he's replying to a lot of these like spam, you know, these spam porn things you get, and saying really nasty things like, I don't know if you want to bleep some of this or whatever, but you know, I would F you, I'll bleep it myself. And I would, you know, yeah, you're sexy. Nice camel toe. Nice tits. You know, stuff like that. Sorry, I didn't bleep myself there. But anyway, so I was wondering, what should I do? Should I tell him that everyone can see that, but then I risk embarrassing him? I don't know. Or is there a better way of telling him? I was trying to think of a way of showing him that they're, you know, not his, but someone else's. I don't know. So, anyway, I thought I'd get your advice. Love the show. Thanks. Bye.
Wow. I was not expecting this, and I totally get your dilemma. I mean, this is a tough thing to do. How do you bring it up? And I have a solution, because this was just in the news. Sam Jackson had been liking a lot of posts from porn sites on his Twitter, and people started commenting on it. There's been a few other celebrities that also have done that. And I think you can casually bring up, oh my gosh, did you see that story about Sam Jackson? And then he'll be like, what do you mean? Oh, well, whenever you like or respond to something, everyone can see it. And then let it dawn on him that, okay, wait a second. Now, if he keeps on doing it, he's been fairly warned. But that way, you get to have a funny little story with him. You don't look down on it. You don't make it like a big deal, but you just let him know that, yeah, it was embarrassing for everyone to see what Sam Jackson was into. And I think that might be the best way to handle it. Tell me how it goes. Please call back. I want to hear. Okay, next up, we have Chris from Illinois. He's a teacher with a great question. Chris, take it away.
Hi, Paul. This is Chris from Illinois. I have a comics question for you, since I know you and Jason are avid readers. I teach in a school district that has a program for teachers to teach other teachers. I want to present a class on how American comics have reflected American history. The topics I have thought of so far are World War II, the Comics Code Authority, civil rights, and the political use of the Punisher symbol. What topics can you think of that I should present? Maybe Jason has some ideas too. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Wow. I love this. And I think that you've covered a lot of interesting ground already. One that just jumps out at me is The Watchmen, right? Because The Watchmen really, I think, is a reflection of a lot of questions that we are asking ourselves about morality and what is good and what is done for the greater good. There's a lot there, obviously steeped in history, as Nixon, I believe, is on his fifth term as president when Watchmen takes place. So that would be one that I feel like is so chunky, and you could really take away a lot of different lessons there. That one is a perfect one to be pulled apart. I also would recommend maybe looking at the idea of acceptance across the board. You know, comic books did things in really interesting ways. Like, for example, the X-Men had a gay wedding. And that was a big deal, I think, you know, to have this issue of the X-Men in 2012 come out that tackled something like that. It may have introduced a lot of people to something in a way that might have given them a way to accept it if they were against it. And I think that continues on and on as you see these heroes, these Marvel characters changing, like whether it's in 2014 when Thor becomes a woman or how Spider-Man becomes Miles Morales. You know, the idea of the reflection of the culture and the changing times, that not every character has to be a white man, I think is really interesting. And you could really step back and just do a whole feature on Ms. Marvel, which is, you know, this amazing character. Obviously, the Disney Plus show there too, but the story behind it is really interesting as well, because there had never been a reflection of a character like this in the Marvel world before. So I do think that we could talk about the idea of, you know, taking the modern world and infusing it into our comic books. I think that there's so much here, and this is just off the top of my head. I will ask Jason about it, and we'll get back to you some more. All right, great question, but we are always looking for more of Paul's helpline voicemails. So if you need some advice, give me a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-728-5275. Last episode, I put a call out to anyone who needs help with Valentine's Day ideas, and I got zero calls. Come on. I'm the love doctor. Give me a chance to give you some advice about sweeping your partner off their feet. Or if you just want to vent about shitty past Valentine's Day gifts, shitty Valentine's dates, I want to be your sounding board. You don't have to even call with a question. You can just call to bitch about how much you hate Valentine's Day. Again, the number is 619-PAUL-ASK. All right, people, we are going back live at Largo. That's right, in February, the movie is Ambulance. Check the Largo calendar to see if tickets are still available. And you can always check out Jason and I doing live improv with our group Dinosaur pretty much the last Thursday of every month on stage at Largo. Go to largo-la.com for tickets and info. And every Thursday night, Rob Hubel and I go live on Twitch and YouTube and Facebook to do a show with our special friends and just kind of fuck around and have a good time. So check that out at twitch.tv/friendzone. But coming up, we'll get into your questions and comments and concerns about open marriage. But first, you've probably noticed on the podcast that I often introduce myself as Tall John Shear. And if you are a newer How Did This Get Made listener, we realize that you might be perplexed by this moniker. So every now and then, we will help explain why I call myself Tall John. And Dishes Queen on our Discord pulled some clips from our old Jaws 3D episode and Serenity episodes that explain the origin of Tall John Shear. So, courtesy of Dishes Queens, we'll be right back after this brief How Did This Get Made history lesson.
I also was a lone name person. There was no Pauls.
What are you talking about? You both have very common boy names.
No, I barely ever heard it.
I was very special. June, I was very special. I was alone in the world as a Jason.
You know, it was so hard for people to pronounce my name. Do you pronounce the L? Is it a strong L?
Well, I do remember, not to get off on too much of a tangent, but Paul and I had to pick up a pizza in Ojai once. And
my God.
We're staying with a group of friends over Thanksgiving, but it was like the day after. Nobody wanted to cook. Jason, you weren't invited, I guess. But
I must not have been there at this house in Ojai that apparently a group of you were at.
Yeah,
a
lot of people. Don't remember why you weren't there.
Some of your best friends.
So the next night after Thanksgiving, we ordered pizza so we didn't have to cook. And
that's the way we roll.
Yeah. Because otherwise you cooked the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, we got it. We're always.
Well, listen,
I mean,
June will put on that apron. Cooking. Yeah. So we go to get the pizzas. Paul and I go to get them. Everybody else stays back. And people are hungry. People are hungry.
Yeah.
And we get to the pizza place. And we're waiting.
Well, we go in there and we're like,
Paul.
Yeah.
We're waiting. And Paul says, I'm sorry, I'm just checking in on because we ordered like five pies. A lot of people were there.
Yeah. I'm like, and yet I didn't get invited.
You definitely weren't there.
Wow.
Yeah, so like, many people.
Paul's five like, pies worth
Paul's
of people.
Like, I've ordered five pies for Paul. She's like, I don't have that order. And we're like, what? And she's like, I have nothing here for Paul. And we're like, we just called. What do you mean? You said to come by in 40 minutes. She's like, I'm so sorry. I don't have anything here for Paul. And I'm like freaking out. I'm like, Paul, all of our dear friends are back there. Everybody's so hungry.
Not all of your dear friends. Let's just say, let me qualify that.
Yeah. The
all of your dear friends are there.
Okay. The people in our life that we choose to holiday with.
Holiday with. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
And, and spend holidays, not like vacation holidays.
No.
Not in the British sense. Like yes. Holidays.
Yeah, federally sanctioned holidays.
Like a bank holiday.
Yes.
Exactly.
We bank holidays.
Is this your bank holiday group?
Yes. It's a very odd group, but great people. Odd group.
So then she says, I don't have anything here. I guess I have an order for five pizzas for Tall.
For
Tall.
Tall.
I'm enjoying watching you tell the story. Just
I love
back.
That somehow the story is getting slower and slower and slower. I have five pizzas for Tall.
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 I hope your answer tall. Was like, well, that's not us because we are Paul.
And Paul goes, I guess that's me. I think you misheard me. And she's like, no. This is for a Tall.
Tall, the name, the common name.
T-A-L.
Tall.
Wow.
It was a wild
ride. That's a ride.
It is now time for Second Opinions.
This movie was horrid. Don't know what the hell I just watched. Let's head on off to Amazon to see what other people thought. June, John, and Jason read Second Opinions. June, John, and Jason read Second Opinions.
John? Give it up for Dana, who thought my name was John. June, John, and Jason, the host of How Did This Get Made? That's a shirt.
I think I see what's happening. That's the shirt. June, John, and Jason. She might have been mistaken for June and I's other podcast.
Yeah.
Oh.
June, John, and Jason, which we do with the film critic.
You do with John Ratzenberger,
yes,
from Cheers.
From Cheers. That's the t-shirt, June, John, and Jason. We should decide who John is the you.
To like John Lennon.
Oh, I love that.
I want to leave that one in just because,
yes,
because
it's
crazy.
It's wild.
Was it a...
And repeated it so many times. It wasn't a slip of the tongue.
Here's the thing. It's easier to say John in that structure.
Yes.
June, John, and Jason, right? Rather than June, Paul. And like,
yeah,
that hard P stops you from,
yeah,
continuing forward.
I mean,
so I understand for song reasons why,
yeah,
she changed it.
There's no world in which you just let go of Paul from here on out.
Or you guys become Poon, Paul, and Payson.
I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie cutter places, and I went on Airbnb and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Texas Pete! Oh my gosh, I love Texas Pete. It is the hot sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. All right, Texas Pete sauce is packed with bold and balanced flavor. I've loved Texas Pete for years. When I got a box of their stuff at my house, I was so psyched, because what I love about their hot sauce is their tanginess, okay? You can use it on anything, and you're going to try every flavor. I mean, you got the original, which is great. That's fermented peppers. It's a special blend. Then you got the hotter hot sauce, which is 3 times hotter than the original. And believe me, it is not for the faint of heart. Then you got Sabor by Texas Pete, which adds an authentic Mexican flavor. And I gotta tell you, that might be my favorite, next to their dust dry seasoning, which matches the flavor of the original hot sauce in a flavorful dry rub. It is so, so great. Texas Pete, sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products, as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And use the promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on 4 bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced, because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium-flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus. Last week, we talked at length about open marriage. We had questions, and we might have even missed a few things. Here is your chance to set us straight, fact check us, if you will. It is time for corrections and omissions.
corrections and omissions.
You were wrong.
Thank you, Mad Licks, for that great theme. Okay, let's go to the Discord. JakeZ23 writes, the first time the couples go to the sex club, Volvania says tonight's safe word is suspenders. Why change the safe word every night? I get changing the password, but why is it necessary to change the safe word too? Wouldn't it be better to have a standard safe word all the time? Jake, holy shit, I can't believe we didn't pick up on that. Yeah, they shouldn't change the safe word. That should be the only thing that is consistent. Maybe she was reminding them, like, oh, the safe word is always suspenders, but also suspenders. Well, I mean, look, you're cutting out a large portion of pleasure if you, you know, can't use suspenders in whatever you want to get up to in those rooms. I would say use something that you would never use there. You know, maybe like Brother P-Touch label printer is a safe word. That would be something that you probably wouldn't use in, you know, group sex or, you know, swinging. Or maybe you would, because maybe you'd have to label, like, who's my partner, who's not. I don't know. Anyway, nothing is really safe. So there we go. Cameron H., I love the fact that Dylan doesn't even try to cover for Becca when Ron calls the hospital asking after her. I mean, he knows they're having marital problems, and it's clear that Becca has lied to her husband about her whereabouts. And he's like, nope, she hasn't been here for 3 hours. Bye. He doesn't even do Becca the courtesy of texting her up. By the way, your jealous husband is checking in on you, so be prepared for some questions when you get home. Dylan is a supportive and resourceful friend, but he clearly loves to stir up some of that shit, too. Amen, Cameron. Great call. And I think that really speaks to the actor Dylan, who shows you that he is a friend, but you know what? He's also a little mischievous. All right, Grayest Hound writes, regarding the paternity test, Becca takes a hair from a hairbrush to use as a DNA sample. Dylan referenced watching true crime shows to know how to get a sample from someone without them knowing, but anyone who watches true crime would know that a shed of hair is a very poor source of nuclear DNA, and it would be useless in a paternity test. Gigitastic chimes in, says, well, you know, you can actually get what are called non-invasive prenatal paternity tests, where you need to take blood work from the mother, and it's important here, a cheek swab from the father. So there's really no way that they got the DNA needed to find out if shirtless Ron was the father. I'd like to think that Dylan's ex-boyfriend just kind of faked up the results to give her peace of mind. And you know what? Back to Dylan, that's where he's a good friend. He's mischievous. He's going to maybe screw you over about your jealous husband looking for you, but he's also going to make sure that that jealous husband feels like he has paternity over his son. You know, it's hard. It's hard out there. Ginger writes, in the first sex club scene, the bartender asks what drinks they want. After the two females state they aren't drinking, Ron says, nothing for me. I'm the designated driver. Guess what, Ron? 50% of your party just said they're not drinking. You don't have to be the designated driver anymore. Well, look, maybe Ron is like, we are agreed to it, so I'm mentally ready to be it. And now that you're not drinking, that doesn't mean that next time we go out, I won't drink. I don't want to switch back and forth. Maybe he feels like when they go out next time, he'll be more ready to drink. Who knows? But yeah, Ron doesn't really need to like lean into the designated driver when the majority of the party isn't drinking. I think that's the thing. He doesn't have to announce like, I'm the hero here because no one's drinking. So good call there. All right, let's go to the phones. We have a great call here that kind of describes what it is like in sex clubs in LA. Take a listen.
About the sex clubs in LA, I am experienced in this area. It is technically legal in LA, but the police are constantly shutting down various sex clubs. I know someone who was literally in the middle of a party when the police raided it here in LA 3 years ago. Mostly they're in houses. People get Airbnbs and they send out emails. And also there's no sex clubs where there's no rules allowed. There are always rules. Trying to think what else. I've never seen people wear masks. There's usually some kind of buffet area, which I find a little gross. And I've never seen anyone fall asleep in one of the back rooms. But, you know, it might happen.
Wow. I love this. Thank you for sharing. The buffet does seem unappealing on some level. But I do love what you kind of brought up here. You've given us more details and honestly have made it more interesting than the movie did, because how interesting would it have been if they just were going to different Airbnbs. That's why you need the text to know where the club is, because the club's constantly moving. And of course, all clubs have rules. And I doubt they change the safe word every night. Although if they do, let us know, Anonymous. All right, back to the Discord. From friend of the pod, just pointing out that Vulvania is played by the amazing Deborah Wilson, who is the longest serving original cast member on Mad TV. Yes, so many people brought this to our attention. Rocket Wesker chimes in to add, Deborah Wilson is a prolific voice actor, including voicing characters on Star Trek Prodigy, a show that Jason also appears in. Yeah, I love Deborah Wilson. And honestly, I did not put it together. Sometimes it just goes over my head too. So hats off to Deborah Wilson, who had, I think, the most interesting character in this entire film and really carried it with an ease and didn't make her character out to be something weird or stereotypical. Way to go. Danny the Wall writes, despite the awesomeness of the name Vulvania, I'm conflicted by the character. It's great to have a person of color as one of the only six actors in the story, but disappointing that's in a role that's meant to be exoticized as the other. She's bald, black, tattooed, placed in the world of the story to represent the bad and evil side of this not mainstream world. And isn't it strange that the only ones who quote unquote belong to this seedy open relationship world are the outsiders, the gay Dylan, and the exotic Vulvania? Further proof that this is conservative propaganda trying its hardest to show how terrible anything is other than traditional white marriage making babies. Danny the Wall, I can't argue with you. That is a very astute point, and I think you are right. I think it could be read that way. I also feel like, based on the conversation we've been having here, that Vulvania and Dylan are the most interesting characters. So through the eyes of what you're saying, like a conservative eye, I could see how they are dangerous or exotic. But from somebody who may be a little bit more open, they also seem the most three-dimensional. I don't know if that solves anything, but just a different way of looking at it. But point taken. This shit is bananas, Anna, as I think the name that she's trying to get out there. If Ron and Becca are out of the open marriage, why do they still have the Caligula app? Why do couples go to the club in the first place when they're just going to be with each other again? Why not stay at home? That is a good question. Maybe it's like those apps you just never delete. I mean, I have plenty of apps on my phone that I never delete. And then every now and then I'm like, why is Minion Rush still on here? Why do I have Potbelly, the app that's like a sandwich store that I love, but there's none nearby. So I don't need that app. It was just when I was shooting something in like Boston that I had that app. So I buy that they just didn't get a chance to erase it. Cameron H. writes, I adored the scene wherein Mindy's machinations are revealed. She orders them all to strip and informs them she's going to murder everyone after they all have sex one last time. And Max's first response is indignation that her Caligula text got Ron fired. Bro, I think you got bigger issues in the moment. Yeah, Cameron H., you're right. There are. Look, sometimes you just don't want your friend to get fucked over at the job. Maybe he would just get a, you know, maybe he was basically taunting her. Like, Mindy, you will try to kill us, but we will survive. And truthfully, he was right. He was right. So I'm glad that he got a dig in about getting Ron fired. Wow, so many great corrections and omissions this week, but there can only be one that is the best. And this week, the best is our Anonymous from LA. Thank you for opening our eyes. And you don't win anything, but you do get this amazing song from Garrett Parker. Hit it, Garrett!
People of Earth, you win nothing.
All right. Thank you, Anonymous, for sharing a true look at the world of LA, open relationships, and sex clubs. If you want to chime in with your own thoughts about the latest episode, hit us up at the Discord at discord.gg/HDTGM or call us at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. Coming up, Jason and I chat about all the things that we are watching. But first, here is a bonus deleted scene from our open marriage episode where I tell a brief story about running into J.K. Simmons at the dentist. Back after this. J.K. Simmons, awesome dude, lovely guy, came on NTSF early on in the series before we knew what it was, got the comedy, killed. And I've always had a really nice relationship with him. We share the same dentist. And my dentist says, oh, J.K.'s here. You should go say hi.
And I go, oh, I don't want to. And they're like, no, no, go say hi to JK. I'm like, well, I mean, not really. I don't want to go, go. And they bring me into JK's room where JK is getting, you know, dentistry done. His mouth is open. He's in a chair. And it's like, JK, Paul's here. And I'm like, hey, how? I'm like, it was the most awkward. I feel like my dentist messed up my relationship with JK to come into anybody in the middle of dentistry and have a conversation.
That's like a HIPAA violation. It must be or
that's
should
insane.
Be.
That's insane.
That's utterly insane. That's really upsetting.
Yeah.
I don't want like anyone to see me at the dentist.
Never.
I mean, I had to go to, obviously, Dr. Mario Paz, my orthodontist, as an adult, and it was just like sort of an open floor plan situation where it was me and like 15, 10-year-olds getting braces at the same time. So I had to get all of my orthodonture work done in community, which was very embarrassing.
But also, that's when you started working on your Highlights magazine.
You were afraid. You were this and that, a frickin' right? frack.
Goofus and Gallant. What was her name?
Gallant.
Goofus and Gallant.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better. And that is eat more Reese's peanut butter cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter. I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's peanut butter cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry because I love these. Today's episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Well, guess what, people? This is the deal for you. It's Philo. Philo's got movies. It's got shows, and it's got live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Philo has unlimited DVR for 1 year, so you can save all of your favorite shows, and you can watch them on your own schedule. That's right. It also allows for multiple profiles and multiple streams. That's right. Mom can be in the kitchen. Dad can be out in the man cave. And Sister Tina can be in her own room. Never miss a minute of shows because there's no better way to watch TV when Philo has more than 70 channels like ID, Lifetime, and MTV. So try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/bonkers. That's philo.tv/bonkers to get 50% off your first month. All right, people, you know that How Did This Get Made is double dipping. That's right. Every Monday, we are re-releasing an older episode from the vault. This week's Matinee Monday was Body of Evidence. And next week, we are going all the way back to 2013 for our episode on Congo with Nick Weiger. So check that out and try to figure out why we picked Congo. It might be about a film coming up, which we'll announce in just a bit. Okay, we have spent a lot of time hearing from you, but now it's time for me to just chat with my good friend, Jason. Seth Chatfield, play us in.
Is it this, or could it be that? A little swing of the cane, a little tip of the hat. No, it's Jason and Paul, just getting into it all in the segment that we call Just Chat. Yeah.
Jason, it's been a while, and I know I've been anxious to get into what you've been up to, because I know that right now
this kind of end of year, beginning of new year is a time where I really get to watch and pull things in. And I feel full and excited by what been watching and old stuff and new stuff. I'm still arguing that you should get a Letterboxd account because I don't even think that people, you could have a fake one. I would just follow you.
That's what I was going to ask you. I meant to have this conversation with you offline, but is there a way that I can, because I know it's a social, it's a public facing thing, but I mean, like, let's say for example, we're going to watch Open Marriage for the show.
Yes.
Right, which we did. Does that mean, can people search Open Marriage and see who watched it and be like, oh, I bet that's...
Well, you could, you don't have to log everything that you watch. I mean, it's not like
Oh, I thought it automatically knew.
No.
I see. You're entering it.
You enter it when you...
Got it.
Now, I do like to put a How Did This Get Made movie up there every now and then because I feel like... For fans of the show, they get a little sneak preview, but I don't really write anything about all this stuff. But I kind of keep it more as like a log of like, what have I watched for just logging purposes? Because it's all there.
Well,
it looks really
nice. I keep track. Well, I mean, it's a good way to get into it. Steven Soderbergh last week put out his end of the year, what he watched.
I love that.
The whole thing. It's fascinating. And he's been doing this for years. And as a result, I started doing it years ago. So I write down everything I watch, read, or listen to for the most part.
I would like to keep a track of what I read because I read so much and I feel I don't ever keep track of it. And that bums me, like, you know, not bums me out, but I'm like, oh, but I think it's smart. Just why not? I mean, it's so easy to open up that Letterboxd and I just input it or I get inspired by it, which I like.
I like that. Okay. What do you got?
I want to just talk about one movie that I really got excited about that's old. And I want to know if you have any like connection to it. Have you ever seen The In-Laws?
Oh, of course. Peter Falk.
Yes.
Incredible movie. This is a legendary comedy, Serpentine, legendary comedy from my childhood.
Same. And June, too. And
This is an Alan Arkin, Peter Falk. You know, it's not a romantic comedy. It's a comedy about their kids are getting married and they get sucked into like a foreign dictator, complete insanity, CIA spy mission, basically.
Yeah, it really is like a buddy comedy where Alan Arkin plays the best straight man of all time. Like the dynamic between the two of them is awesome, and you don't know what Peter Falk's end game is, but Peter Falk is involved in some bad business, and the action scenes
this
are
might
great.
Have been. Oh, they're so fun and so funny. I think this might have been the first time I saw either of these actors.
I think so too. I might have known Columbo. I might have. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe I did. Maybe I did.
But Columbo wasn't funny like this. And I just had revisited it. And I was like, oh my God, this movie makes me laugh so hard. The action is really great. But the thing I realized, and June and I were talking about this a lot, is the scenes are incredibly static. Like the camera kind of just stays in one spot and they're running around. And I don't know if that makes it better, but there is something about the comedy in just a locked off shot that made me just like you're watching.
Oh, because the frames are big and wide and they are entering and exiting. I was just going to look up who, did you look up who directed
it? Arthur Hiller, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I want to say Arthur Miller, but maybe I think it is Arthur Hiller, or maybe I'm wrong.
You're right.
Okay,
No, you're right. Arthur Hiller. Okay. This movie is fantastic. Oh, he did The Hospital, See No Evil, The In-Laws.
Silver Streak, another great buddy comedy movie with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. And also Love Story,
Outrageous
which I guess.
Fortune.
Yeah.
Holy shit. But Author. What a wild list.
He's got a real...
Anyway.
Yeah, I went back and looked, and then I actually just bought the Criterion DVD of it because there's like Alan Arkin doing commentary on it. And,
cool.
Yeah, and there's some really fun little things. Like Ed Begley Jr.'s in it. He's very young, and he
does
a little...
I gotta rewatch it. I haven't watched it in years, but that was a real favorite in my family.
Same. My dad loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's this one that
there's
I thought
another
was a
movie,
fun one to go back to.
I'm gonna blast from the past you and see if you have any allegiance to this movie, which I've been looking for ages and has just not been available, but now is streaming, I think, on maybe HBO, which is Johnny Dangerously.
Oh,
I loved that movie
you
as a kid.
You Fargan ice holes.
Oh,
I
my
mean,
God.
This movie, this is a Michael Keaton mobster, like 30s era mobster kind of aping all the gangster tropes.
It's like Airplane or Top Secret.
Yes. It's a spoof movie of mobster movies, except it's not so spoofy as to be sketches.
No.
It still has a propulsive narrative.
Directed by Amy Heckerling, who
it's an Amy Heckerling movie. You know, Weird Al music in it. It's fantastic.
It's really funny. Joe Piscopo, Danny DeVito.
Yes.
I remember
Mary
one
Lou
scene
Henner.
Super clearly, which is like they're in a car chase. And one of the ways that they're getting away is they have like different wallpaper on the car so they can, it was like a black car, then it became a different, yeah, like, and it was like, it's very visually fun, but also like, I love Michael Keaton when I was a kid.
He's so good.
He's so good in this movie.
This movie, Mr. Mom, he was so good in Mr. Mom. I remember he was just so funny.
Yeah, these are the movies
I watched
that
and I watched Better Off Dead the other day.
Oh, wow. These are movies that, Better Off Dead to me, that and One Crazy Summer, which were both directed by the same guy, both starring John Cusack. I mean, essentially had a little bit of a Preston Sturges vibe in the sense that a lot of the cast are merger there.
Yep.
And those movies I always felt like were the ones that I knew that no one else knew because they were just like these little weird Savage Steve Holland.
Funny, but a little weirdo.
Yeah.
Savage Steve Wilson?
I thought it was Holland, right? Or is it Savage Steve?
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah. It is Holland. Sorry. I misheard you. Yeah.
And he also, I think, has gone on to like direct like a bunch of Disney stuff now. Like that's his.
I didn't look. That's
great.
Yeah,
his big claim to fame. But I love those movies. And John Cusack, again, John Cusack being like the John Cusack that I loved. I was like, oh, that's
my
the version.
Favorite. Yeah,
oh,
that's
man.
My favorite, like that era of, and then Say Anything, and like that era of John Cusack, and then of course, the adult John Cusack of, you know.
Gross Point Blank?
I loved Gross Point Blank, oh my God. But then the Nick Hornby.
High Fidelity.
High Fidelity is what I'm thinking of. And then all the way, I just watched Serendipity recently.
How was that?
The rom-com with him and Kate Beckinsale? Fantastic. Absolutely terrific.
There is a great clip. I should try to find it. If we do, I'll pop it in. But where John Cusack was on like Conan and he was in this movie called like Must Love Dogs.
Yes.
And Conan was like, Must Love Dogs. You know, tell me about it. And he goes, well, let me tell you. You get a bunch of scripts and sometimes you look at the paycheck of them and the one that has the most, you say, all right. Must Love Dogs. Like, it was
wow.
That was it. Like, and it was so, like, I always am amazed at that because I feel like I'm so conscious of respecting, even if I don't believe in something, I will at least do due diligence. But to go out on a major late night talk show and shit
where
on the movie.
Where you're promoting it.
Yes.
Where you're promoting the movie actively in the moment. That's why
it's such a fuck you. And I can also see how that like not kills your career, but like gets people so nervous about anything.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, it's
holy shit.
It's, but I mean, John Cusack, I remember when I lived in New York City, they were shooting City Hall, that Al Pacino movie with Bridget Fonda in front of my house. And I was so excited. Like I lived on Park and 20th. So everything that shot in Gramercy Park, all the trucks lined up in front of my house. So it was like Harrison Ford and John Cusack. And it was just great to, I had to walk there and I like, no one could shoo me away because it was my front step. And it was, I felt like I was always getting, I could hang out in my lobby and just wait to see
people come through.
That's
very cool.
Sam Jackson, the only person who would not sign an autograph for me, but also respectful. Like, looked at me and was like, no. Like, not even in, like, I think if I was a child, he would have done it. It was like, you're too old.
Sure.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not into that. And I respect, as I get older, I kind of respect it. I do. Like, in the moment, I was crushed. But also, he didn't see, like, I don't know.
He wasn't rude about it or he wasn't, you know, mean or anything. He just wasn't. Sometimes people will ask me for something, like, if I'm working or something, I'll say, oh, I'd rather not right now.
Yeah, you actually do a great
very
job
polite.
Of that. Yeah.
Very polite, but I'd rather not right now.
I'm not this moment. I was telling Hubel about this last week, that there was this moment where
I lost track of my kids on vacation. And by losing track of them, it was, they were out of sight, right? And
yeah.
And I went to go look and I couldn't see them. And I was in a moment of panic. The whole thing probably took about 3 minutes. But in that moment of panic, walking up and down these stairs, this guy came up to me and was like, Andre! And I was like, dude,
oh God.
I can't talk. I was like, I can't right now. I gotta go. Like, it was like, and I've never been
help
that.
Help me set my lineup.
I was like, I need to find my kids. But
oh
yeah,
my God.
Those are those moments where it is like, I mean, it is, it's just funny to see how different people react. Oh, yeah. And I've seen certain people react in crazy ways. Have you been diving into any of these Oscar movies, or have you been doing that kind of world?
Not, you know what? I've barely scratched the surface. That is, I just have been setting up my screeners and getting all that going. I've been sucked into, I've been really heavily watching like a lot of dad TV, a lot of Slow Horses season two, a lot of SAS Rogue Heroes season one.
Wow.
I mean, like some really, but then also I will say I'm also, I've, you know, I watched all of Letterkenny season 11 came out.
I saw that. I am so excited to get into that.
What else? You know what? I've been watching a bunch of music documentaries, all of which are fantastic, even if they're not about necessarily artists or stuff that I am super passionate about. So like I watched the Ronnie James Dio documentary.
Oh, whoa.
Dio, Dreamers Never Die. It's absolutely fantastic. The Meet Me in the Bathroom documentary, which is about
the
Williamsburg music. Yes,
I read that book. And I
yes,
love that
exactly.
book because
great.
There's something about
Same.
That book that reminds me of what we were doing in comedy. And I don't mean it to be like
yes, cause
lofty,
it's the same
but at the
time.
Same time, and we were just not as cool as that, but we were working kind of the same spots.
Paul, when I tell you, when I'm watching the documentary, there are a number of occasions where I'm like, oh, wait, I was at this show.
That's what I
was like,
yes.
Possible. It's possible I might be in this crowd. It was really weird to be watching a thing that is a documentary that is demonstrably about the past and recognize it as my youth.
Well,
I'm like, oh, that past is I was present for.
Well, I remember like the Strokes.
Yep.
Being at UCB, and I remember like,
oh, yeah.
like Julian Casablancas being somewhere, or like, oh, he was just here. Like there
oh,
was
yeah,
this
yeah.
like little
the yeah,
cross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The TV on the radio guys, James Murphy. I remember talking to James Murphy.
Oh my
you
God.
Know, a thousand years.
Can I
ago.
Tell you the weirdest moment for me? You know, obviously we like a lot of similar music. I mean, you obviously know a lot more than I do in that world. But I will say that I was a huge fan of like all these bands we're talking about, but especially Yeah Yeah Yeahs. And when I go to my kids' preschool a handful of years ago, I realize that Karen O is also going to my kids'
wow.
preschool. And so for one of their like events, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs played at the fucking
Incredible.
Preschool for 50 people. And it was the best.
Wow.
I have friends who go to a very rich school out here that Beyonce and Jay-Z go to. And like Beyonce
also
did the
cool.
did the Christmas concert. Like, and I was like, whoa, this was like
That's
very,
amazing.
This was very chill. It was like, oh yeah,
That's
we'll
so
play
cool,
some songs.
Though.
And I was like, oh,
yeah.
this is great.
It was, I really enjoyed that documentary because it really was like, it was both really cool. It's a lot of music that I like, but then also nostalgic for my 20s and 30s, frankly. And then incredibly, a band I absolutely love and have seen numerous times with our good friend Owen Burke. There is a 50th anniversary for King Crimson documentary
oh, yeah, I know about
called
that.
In the Court of the Crimson King, and it is fantastic.
Oh, I know that you guys go to that, and every now and then I do want to know what's going on. Not what's going on there, but
oh,
I love that
like,
bond. I love that you have that bond.
It is all like 65-year-old dudes with long gray ponytails, me and Owen, and just like, and then like 2.5 hours of intense progressive rock.
Oh, I can't get enough.
Oh, it's the best.
I know that we have to keep this one
yeah,
a little
yeah,
bit
yeah.
short, but I will tell you one thing that you should maybe put on your list. It's kind of
Please.
Bridging the gap of music and movies. Matilda, the musical on Netflix. You saw it?
You know how I feel about musicals.
I know.
I hate them.
I know.
But boy, is this dynamic and electric to watch.
It's so good and has one of your favorites in it. I mean, Emma Thompson is
the queen.
And unrecognizable. Like, I was like, oh,
incredible.
Shit. I saw this on stage in London years ago. And it was one of those shows that really resonated to me because very rarely do you see a show about kids where adults are wrong. Like, that's one of the, and I thought, I was like, and the way they captured it, the way it looks, I don't want to keep us, but I was like, that is a must watch. It's really, really good.
And this is coming from someone who hates musicals. I thought it was impeccably done. Really very, very immersive and compelling. The kid performances are incredible. I thought it was great.
I know. It's really good. All right. So, Jason, we'll do more Quar Chat.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk soon. All right. Thank you, Jason. And thank you, Seth Chatfield, for that amazing Just Chat theme that brought us into the section. Any singer-songwriters out there, if you want to record new songs for Just Chat, let us know. Send them to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com and keep them on the short side. Now that we got open marriage out of the way, let's talk about next week's movie. We are going from sex clubs to Irish pubs. That's right. Next week, we are gearing up for Valentine's Day by watching the 2020 romantic drama Wild Mountain Time. The movie stars Emily Blunt, Jamie Dornan, Christopher Walken, and John Hamm. It's written and directed by John Patrick Shanley, who also penned the How Did This Get Made classics January Man and Congo. That's why we are re-releasing that in this upcoming Monday. Here's a short breakdown of the plot. A pair of star-crossed lovers in Ireland get caught up in their family's land dispute. I mean, that kind of is it, and it really isn't. Anyway, Rotten Tomatoes gives this film a 26% rotten. Peter Bradshaw from The Guardian says Blunt and Walken's brogue off makes this the King Kong versus Godzilla event of inauthentic Irish voices. Wow. Let's listen to the trailer.
These green fields, they hold me here.
When he says those things.
All her life, Rosemary has been in love with Anthony.
It's not normal.
I don't care.
And Anthony never noticed.
You are famous for what goes by you.
Now,
wait for that one.
All that is about to change.
You kissed her.
He kissed me.
From the writer of Moonstruck.
You'd let me go, wouldn't you?
I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living in the rain.
Wild Mountain Time.
Let me tell you, people, there are bigger problems at play here than the accents. You can stream Wild Mountain Time on Hulu and Hoopla. You can also watch it for free on Canopy, which is a free streaming service offered by many local public libraries, or you can rent it on Apple TV, YouTube, or Amazon Prime Video. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Remember to rate and review the show. It helps. It helps. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, make sure you are following us. Visit us on social media at HDTGM. And for commercial-free access to How Did This Get Made and our entire archive and so much more, sign up for Stitcher Premium for a free one-month trial. Use the code BONKERS. A big thank you to our producers, Scott Sani, Molly Reynolds, our movie-picking producer, Avril Halley, our engineer, Alex Gonzalez, our publisher, July Diaz. Our amazing art is provided by the ghost of Craig T. Nelson on Instagram. And, of course, Kyle Waldron, who also is on Instagram. Check out their work. Always so funny. We will see you next week for Wild Mountain Time.
Ask Sherwin-Williams during the 4-day super sale, April 19th through the 22nd, and get 40% off paints and stains with prices starting at $26.69. That means 40% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And of course, get 40% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.